Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word. But really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life, on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
To your imagination. my brain. The streets of London were bleeding with rain. So many I loved had been taken from me. I'd cried so hard, my tears burned on me. Now I wander these streets, and your children spit on me. I meet your eyes, and they run from me. Never been a hero, never knew how far I could go, until I saw the children die, and I forgot just how to cry. Oh Lord, I had to flee the storm. Memories of home keep feeding on my mind, and I find it never was perfect, but I just can't have it. That place where the sun will always shine, can you find it in your heart to understand mine? Oh Lord, I had to flee the storm, blew away my country. I had a life I didn't know I loved, you see. If not for the storm, I would be gone, and we would never have become walkers on this same blood-drenched street. The fates ordained that we should meet. Same blood, same water, like sweet honey said. Would it mean a thing to you if I were dead? Oh, Lord, I had to flee the storm. See, Lord, who would you be a refugee?
Sometimes when we find ourselves feeling like someone did us wrong or hurt our feelings, we make the choice to react. Reacting is exactly what the word suggests. Reacting. A repeated action that has not brought our desired results. When we are pain-driven in our relationships, blame shows up, guilt sets in, and before we know it, we're saying things that will lead to regret. These are the events that trigger past memories. This triggering effect actually taps into emotional pain that has been neglected or forgotten, that has now been brought to the forefront to be healed. If we choose to heal this emotional pain, we will respond to the present situation by being honest with ourselves and taking a good look at the root cause of our pain. Responding is loving without conditions. It is about acceptance of another person's point of view. It is allowing others to be who they are and recognizing that the only person's actions we are responsible for are our own. When we decide to take back our power by being responsible for our own well-being, only then are we able to allow others to be exactly who they are. In this space, abuse, control, jealousy, and other fears that cause imbalances in our relationships cease to exist. Responding to life with love will take us to the realm of creation, a realm where everything is possible, where we allow our lives to be just the way we want it. You know, you have been initiated into a higher realm. When you find peace with the previous major issue, every time the situation comes at you, it's not noticed until it passes by. A knowing that precedes divine movement is called inspiration. Intuition happens when a situation shows up, and at first you're not sure what to do, and you decide to just go into it, and your answer becomes crystal clear. As soon as we find a comfortable space in life and settle into complacency, life has a unique way of shaking us out of our comfort zones, shaping our world much differently than before. It seems that the only settled, peace-filled space can be found when we accept ourselves, leaving room for change. Just as the leaves of the tree change colors and continue to release, so must we seek to effortlessly allow our transformation to occur.
Welcome to everyone in every part of the world who's listening to my voice, my sound, my strong sound at this time. Especially hearing the voice of my heart as we continue this month on the playground with sound. Sound that heals, sound that touches. Sometimes it ruffles our feathers. But sound, indeed, is the first thing we hear when we come into this world. We hear our own voice. Sometimes throughout life, it's taken away from us. And we find ourselves cut off, not knowing what day, not knowing how to express ourselves in different ways. This same sound, this expression, is how we move in life and what we see in front of us how we express our creativity in anything we decide to endeavor in. It could be our profession as an accountant. How strong is your sound? How clear as a bell whistle are you? Today, I have the true honor and a blessing to have a very special soul, Razia Aziz. Razia came, it just happened, stands, as they say, but it's not ever anything that's happened stands under the sun in this universe. I got the pleasure of meeting this beautiful person when she became my, what, my voice coach. I was truly cut off for years after doing a lot of expressive things as a teenager. And somewhere along the line, as life does, it offers us opportunities. Sometimes we view them as challenges, but they yet are opportunities to grow. And I just had that time, and my voice was shut down. My throat chakra was not open. And I had the blessing to meet this beautiful person, Razia. And she took me through some serious, wonderful, but simple, yet simple exercises. As we know, simplicity is the highest order. And Razia took me through them, and she didn't know it, and I don't know if she knows it now, but I'm saying it out loud so everyone can hear it very strongly how much I love and appreciate her. Clay, this clay experience means passionately loving, appreciating you. And with her assistance, I found my voice again. So I truly want to welcome her to this playground of life. Hello. Razia, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. I can hear you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on the playground today.
It's a great pleasure. I'm so glad we finally got through. I was a bit, I'm not great with technology, but somehow it wasn't working before.
Well, you know, let me tell you about sound. Sound is so powerful that it's going to come through whether we like it or not. So welcome to the playground of life. Wow.
Lots of blessings to all listeners.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We heard your song it was Refugee. We heard that first, and then before that we heard Let It Shine by Sherry Marie. Then before that, we heard Our Pure Imagination by George Gorillaz. And the listeners, you can find George's music at evzonemusic.com. And Razia, where can they find your music?
Oh, well, that's a bit of a magic carpet, my music. That particular album from which you played that track is really only available in CD, and people would have to email me, I guess, in order to get a copy of that, because it's not available commercially. I have another album which was produced by a record company, which you can buy over the internet. You can buy on Amazon, in fact. The one that you played was recorded in my living room about 13 years ago.
In your living room? Wow, how innovative is that?
on an old-fashioned DAT recorder.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I want to welcome you again to the show. All is well. And I want to ask you, who is Razia Aziz?
Who is she? Wow, she's somebody with a lot of different identities, but really only one purpose. And that's a purpose that's hard to put into words, so I tend to put it into song. And, I have a lot of roles in the world, but I have a central sense of wanting to find the voice of love, be the voice of love, find a way to communicate and touch others, whether it's spoken or sung. And really, that's my ministry, if you like. That's my ministry in the world.
Well, you do it very well. I was just sharing with the other playmates on the playground about I was expressing to them how important you are and still will be in my life for bringing my voice back. You know, it's the reason why I am here broadcasting over the world today and taking my work around the world today is because of what you shared with me and how you simplicity rode me through on that magic carpet that you have to sound and bringing me back to my own expression. So I do want to thank you in front of all the playmates for that gift. Mm-hmm. Thank you so very much.
Well, it's a great honor to work with people who are willing to open to their own truth, because the only thing that can or should change your life is the truth trying to come through you. And if I helped in any way, then that's a great honor to me. But I don't think the magic belongs to me. It's just something that I believe in. And then when we come together, we share. But it's greater than those of us or than any of us. It's great to hear you say that something that we did touched you in that way.
Absolutely, and you're right. It's in concert that we can really, when we work in concert, that we make the most beautiful sounds. I agree. So with that question, with that decision, I should say, what is sound to you? Where did you feel that sound has actually derived from, and what does it mean in your life?
Well, I guess the first sound is the sound of the great silence of spirit, which is behind everything else. And without that great, infinite, eternal silence that sometimes that we touch in our deep meditation or in our deepest sleep, the sound would have no meaning. So the first is to bow to the silence. To the silence, the great silence of spirit. And then out of that, all of the sounds of the universe are available to us. When we come into the physical, when we begin to manifest in the physical realm, we get these grosser sounds, the ones that we can hear with the physical ear. But before they come into physical manifestation, they already exist in the finer, level of our being. So when sound comes through us, it's using us as a channel. We become in the service of the sound. And I see myself often when I sing as I'm in the service of the song. The song has honored me by wanting to be sung by me. And my only job is to get out of the way of the song and let it be in the world. And so to me, that's really what the song is about. And for me, the song is a particular kind of sound that I get the most joy from and that I seem to be able to give the most joy through.
You know, with that, I would like to ask you, if you had something really deep just from even today, something that you wanted to express through song, what would it sound like? Can you actually sing something to us that expresses your day or where you are right now about the world, in the world, to the world?
Yeah, I came to this interview with a couple of ideas in terms of songs that were kind of knocking on my door and saying maybe you could sing me to some of these lovely people who are going to be listening.
Wonderful.
What kind of a mood are you in? Are you in a prayerful mood or are you in a soulful mood?
I want to hear it all. So you could do one first and then the other.
Contesting any other. But I'm giving the first one first because it's actually a morning prayer, and I know that you're sometime in the early evening over there, and it's nighttime here. But this is a song, this is a prayer that came in the shape of a song, and it's called Morning Prayer, and it's just a cappella, and it goes something like this. Oh, oh, there are some things that we expect experience in life that is so deep and so profound, we can hardly find the words to talk about them. And when we do, it's like a kind of outpouring of the heart. And sometimes we can't bring ourselves to share that with another embodied person. So the only place we can take it is to God or to Jesus or to Mary or to Buddha or to whoever it is that we deeply in our hearts follow. And that knowing that whatever it is that we're trying to say, that there is one who will understand what is in our hearts. And this song is about that.
Okay.
I want to talk to Jesus. He's the one who knows how the open heart feels and how it flows. Listen to Jesus. His silence is found. I do and I have no choice. And in his arms I see blessing. His smile, the rising sun. In his heart I remember that I am in a temple. I want to talk to the God. He's the one who knows how the broken heart feels and how it flows. Listen to the God. Be silent with her. I surrender, I have no choice. But in his arms I see blessing. In his smile the rising sun. In his heart I remember that I am in a temple. I want to talk to Rabia. She's the one who knows how the open heart feels and how it flows. Listen to Rabia. She was silent with her. I surrender, I have no choice. And in her arms I see blessing. In her smile the rising sun. In her heart I remember that I am in a good one. I want to talk to Mary. She's the one who knows how the broken heart feels and how it glows. Listen to Mary. To her silent whisper, I surrender, I have no choice. And in her arms I seek refuge, and in her smile the rising sun. In her heart I remember that I am in a good heart. I want to talk to Jesus. He's the one who knows how the broken heart. feels and how it flows. Listen to Jesus, to his Son and his Son. Our children do not have no choice but to follow his voice. Follow the voice, but to follow his voice.
Wow, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. We are just so blessed to have Razia Aziz with us today, serenading us. Oh, I mean, if we were over there, we'd probably be like soothed, like babies going to sleep so fast already. If I was in the UK or anywhere else where it was already dark outside, I'd be like, oh, this is a lullaby. That was gorgeous. Thank you so much, Razia. That was really awesome.
Really awesome.
Yeah. And so let me ask you this. When did you actually start singing? When did you really know that this is something that you love to do?
Well, I think it's a very interesting question because for me, initially, my singing was born of a painful experience. And that was when I was 6 years old. I used to live in Lagos in Nigeria when I was little. And when I was 6 years old, I came to England. And in fact, I had my sixth birthday on the ship on the way from Lagos to Liverpool. And the move to England was really quite traumatic. And it was a very difficult experience at that age. And the very first school I went to, I was really miserable, and at some point I actually just refused to go to school. And my parents were a little worried about me, and they moved me to another school. But what did actually happen was that when I came to England, I started to learn to sing hymns, which is something that I'd never done before. I come from a Muslim background, and we don't really have hymns, not in that kind of way where people sing together. And what I found was that singing hymns, even though it was a different tradition and in some ways I wasn't meant to be a Christian, so I wasn't supposed to be singing that stuff, but there was something very uplifting in the heart of what I was singing. And I still remember the hymns that I learned in that very first, I'm now 48, but I still remember some of the words of the hymns that I learned when I was 6. And I found that through singing, the pain of the experience of dislocation, experiences of racism probably for the first time, experiences of being the outsider, of not really being seen, or when I was being seen as something that didn't fit. That experience actually opened my voice, and it made me want to sing, and it made me want to connect at the heart level with the soul that is at the core of the song, which doesn't have a color and doesn't have a country and doesn't have a creed or a sexual orientation or a gender, but it's something that brings me close to spirit. And I wouldn't have been able to express that as a child, but now that I look back upon my life and I understand that journey a little bit better than I understood it then, I understand that the song is actually what kept me alive in terms of me as a vibrant, intelligent, warm, loving person. Something in the heart of the song that was expressed through the voice is what kept that alive in me. And has always sustained me at every point in my life. Yeah.
And so what did that look like when you were 6? Like, did you just go around just humming or singing all the time? How did it free you in a sense? Did people ask you to sing once they heard you singing? What did it look like?
Yeah. Well, when I was 6, I guess it looked like singing in the school, singing along in assembly with the hymns and really, really enjoying them. I didn't actually, as I got older, it's for people who are familiar with life in England, particularly in the southeast of England, which is like around London, the surrounding areas, people here are reasonably emotionally reserved compared to what you might experience in the States. And so they don't go out, they don't walk down the road singing. And I was the sort of child who, once I heard, could stop my voice, I would actually walk down the road singing. And people would look around and look at me and say, somebody's very happy today. And what I wanted to say to them is, I don't just sing when I'm happy. Actually, I sing when any emotion is striking me. And sometimes I sing because I feel that my heart is breaking, and that's the reason that I'm singing. But it's hard to explain that to people. And so, yes, I did used to go around singing in the bath or singing, walking down the street. I learned to I learned to play the piano first, and then I learned to play the guitar, and I started to write songs. And that wasn't until I was in my, about maybe 12 or 13, I taught myself a little on the guitar. And I didn't really find my voice in a bigger sense until I was probably in my 20s. But I started to write
songs. 20s, okay.
Yeah, I probably wrote my first songs when I was about 12, 13, 14, that sort of time. I won't have a whole lot of a journey with that as well.
Well, you know, we're going to take a break in a minute, but I wanted to ask you, so when you talked about the religious aspect of things, you are a interfaith, what is it, an interfaith minister?
Yes, we're now called One Spirit Interfaith Minister to actually emphasize the fact that we're coming from a place of oneness in our ministry. But, yes, I am an interfaith minister, and the interfaith ministry movement actually started in New York, back, I think, in the 1980s, and was brought to the United Kingdom by a woman called Miranda Holden McPherson, who trained in New York with Rabbi Gelberman, who's now sadly passed away. And she started a seminary over here in the Sister Seminary over here in the UK, because Rabbi Gelberman and his colleagues, who had set up the Interfaith Seminary, what was called the New Seminary in New York, had a vision for the 21st century of an inclusive ministry which allowed men and women, open-hearted men and women, who were called to ministry but didn't necessarily want to practice it within the confines of an established religion, to train to be ministers, to offer spiritual counseling, chaplaincy, celebrancy, weddings, funerals, baby births, but all the kind of range of things that you would expect a minister to offer, but to offer it, if you like, in the spaces between established religions and in a way that was inclusive. So the vows that we make publicly when we are ordained is to offer our services without discrimination to whoever should come to us to the best of our ability, whether we share their spiritual path or not.
And
that appeals to me. I had obviously a personal journey around that, but it felt to me that all of my life had been actually pointed towards developing such a ministry. I just didn't know what that was when I was younger.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, because I want to talk to you a little bit more about the sound, your sound, your expression, and how you are using that in your work today. So we'll be right back. Stay with me. All right.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Well, we're back with Razia Aziz, and she is here just serenading us and giving us all these healing sounds. Razia, you've talked a little bit, you touched a little bit about the resonance of sound and the healing aspect of sound. First, I want to ask you a little bit more about that. Time is flying. I think we have like 8 more minutes, but let's get it in first, because I want people to know where to find you, what you're doing. But, you know, it's sound as a healer. Can you expand upon that just a bit and then tell us how you use it in your work?
Okay, well, in terms of healing, I'll go back to the personal story, which is that for me, both hearing the human voice in an open and loving form is a healing experience. As a voice passes through the body when it is used as a vehicle for loving intention, it seems to have a vibration that itself feels healing, which is why a mother's lullaby or the way somebody who loves you says your name has both a physical and an emotional impact upon you. And if we go with our intuition, we know that certain kinds of sounds, particularly through the human voice, have just instinctively a healing effect. And one of the ways we know that is through loss. So when you're very close to somebody, for example, and they die, you obviously miss their physical presence. But from my personal experience, one of the things that I've missed the most in people who are very close to me who have passed away is the sound of them saying my name, so the sound of their voice, which is conveying that love in a form, the voice, which is both physical and non-physical. And so we just know as a species that somehow the healing power of love exists in the voice of those who are open to love or communicate love to us. In a more formal sense, you can actually use sound as a remedy, just very much as you would use a herb or a medicine. And I had the great privilege to work with a woman called Uma Lacombe, who is a French woman who has lived in India for many, many years. And she taught a system of sound healing, which is very, very simple, very intuitive, and very, very effective. And I studied with her. I did 2-week-long workshops with her. And she showed me how easy it was by combining the voice of the practitioner and the voice of the person seeking healing to actually apply sound almost like a poultice or a remedy to the parts of the body that are afflicted. And that not a difficult thing to learn, but one of the things we need to do in order to release the healing power of sound is to feel completely at home in our voice, so that we can touch the different accents and resonances, vowel sounds, without feeling restricted or overly self-conscious. So sometimes even to get the first trace of applying the sound as a remedy, one has to come home to one's own voice and to one's own sound. So in my work, actually I have a day job, which is, on the surface of it, nothing to do with ministry or singing or anything like that, because I was in a training and consultancy business. So I'd like to say that actually the spoken word and the spoken voice is also very powerful, not just the sung voice. And that I find that when I'm in the training room or facilitating a group, if I bring the same quality of love and openness to my voice when I'm speaking to people, what flows through to them is very reassuring, and it's easier for them to learn in that environment. So that's another sense in which sound can be healing for people. But in my ministry and my kind of overt ministry, if you like, working as a minister or as a celebrant, that is, doing funerals or weddings, or as a voice coach, because I still do some voice coaching with people, the power of sound is just, it's just amazing, really, and it diffuses everything. And even if you're working with somebody who's profoundly deaf, the body is itself an ear. And as you know, the first sense that we kind of come into, sound comes much before sight. And when we're in the room, it's not only what we're born into, it's actually when we're in the room, our whole world is sound. And that's even before the ears develop, because the vibrations of our mother's voice or of the voices that are coming through the wall of the womb into the body of the developing baby, these are all our first impressions of what this earthly existence might be about. So sound goes right back to the beginning, and it's also the last thing to go. And as I said, even if a person is profoundly deaf, as you probably know, one of the world's greatest percussionists, Dame Evelyn Glennie, is completely deaf. And she works totally on her body is like one big ear. And she can feel the nuances in vibration. She doesn't need to hear them the way that a hearing person does. Sound is very profound, and the way we use our voices, I think, even for me, I'm very forgetful sometimes of how I'm using my voice, not necessarily always connecting with the loving vibration. But when we do that, it has an incredibly powerful effect on people.
Right. Well, I really want you to give out your website or where people can find you and give your beautiful son, that's a prerequisite, give your beautiful son a big hug for me. But I want you to give out your website. We're going to have to wrap it up right now, but I'm definitely going to bring you back on. Where can they find you?
So the best way for people to contact me, I don't have a website that is specifically devoted to, I've got my business website, which isn't really, which isn't along the lines of what we're talking about here. But what I would do is I would give out my Hotmail address to people, and if people want to contact me, they can contact me through that. Is I'll have to spell it for you. It's ASHHARA. So that's Alpha Sierra Hotel, Alpha Romeo Alpha, live.co.uk.
All righty. That sounds good. I'll go ahead and put it on the show page as well. Thank you so much, Razia. Be blessed and have a beautiful week.
Yeah, blessings to you too, and to all our lovely listeners.
All righty. Thank you, Razia.
Okay.
All love. Well, we're wrapping up the show today, but we'll see you next week, where we will continue our sound, our strong sound and expression. We love you, we bless you, and we thank the Creator for you. On by for out.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.